Bhagavad Lila, 11th canto, chapter 8. The story of Pingala. Krishna told Uddhava how the Avadhut Brahman explained to Maharaj Yadu the instructions he had received from 9 of his gurus, beginning with the python. The python taught that an intelligent person should cultivate a mentality of detachment and maintain himself with whatever comes of his own accord easily, and spend his time engaged in Hari Bhakti. Even if no food comes, a person who wants to engage fully in Krishna's service should not beg. He should understand this to be the arrangement of providence, thinking, whatever enjoyment is destined for me will automatically come. Thus I should not uselessly waste the remaining duration of my life in worrying about such useless things as food and physical maintenance. And if such a pure devotee, sincere bhakta, does not get any food, he should simply remain lying on the ground, motionless, like the python snake, and patiently fix his mind in meditation upon Krishna. The ocean taught that the mind of a sage absorbed in Krishna appears grave and clear like the still ocean. The ocean does not overflow in the rainy season nor dry in the hot season. The sage does not become elated when he achieves desirable or distress when in their absence. The moth, or the butterfly moth, teaches the example of one he became enticed by the dancing flames of the fire and lost his life in the flames. He's compared to the fool who cannot control his senses. He becomes enchanted by the forms of women decorated with gold ornaments and fine clothing. Like the moth, the man chases after these embodiments of Maya, and he loses his life and falls into hell. The sage learned 2 kinds of instructions from the honey and bumblebee. The bumblebee taught him that a sage should collect a small amount of food from many different houses, 2 madhukari to maintain. Similarly, a sage should also collect essential truth from all scriptures. The insect, the honeybee, taught that one should not save the food he begs for the sake of eating it later the next day, at night or the next day. Because if he has that mentality, he'll develop greed. The male elephant is tricked by the hunters into chasing a captive female, and he falls in the hunter's ditch and goes off to the zoo. The man who becomes attached to the form of a woman falls into the andakupam, deep well of material life, and is thus destroyed. The honey thief, the man that steals the honey collected by the bees, taught him that the deer, now the instruction from the deer, he becomes attracted hearing the hunter's flute and dies. Similarly, someone attracted to mundane sounds, music and song, wastes his life. The fish taught uncontrolled tongue. He bites the baited hook and dies. This is the lesson of one who does not control his tongue will lose his life. There is a prostitute named Pingala who taught another lesson. Well-dressed, she waited for a customer one day till midnight in great anticipation. But no man came to her, she became disgusted. Then she renounced, giving up her hankering for the arrival of the suitor. Then Pingala the prostitute started meditating only on God, and she attained peace. The Prasut teaches that hope for sense gratification is the root cause of misery. Only one who gives up hankering for sense enjoyment can meditate on God and achieve peace. That's the summary of Chapter 8, the story of Pingala. Very interesting commentaries in this chapter by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, which we'll read. Yep. Important verses and tikkas. Chapter 8, verse 21. Krishna said, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Tad vaj chitendriyo nasyad vjitan yendriya puman najayad rasanam ya vaj jitam sarvam jite rase. My dear Uddhav, one may conquer all the other senses, but until he conquers a tongue, he has not really controlled his senses. However, if one can control this one sense, the tongue, then he can be considered under full control of the senses. Thus the importance of the tongue is stressed here. And Vishwanath says, he advises one to accept Mahaprasad moderately. The tongue's function is to vibrate. Someone should vibrate Krishna's name and taste the ecstasy of pure Krishna consciousness. Rasu varjam rasopyasya param jisva nivartate. Only the higher taste of consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one give up the lower taste of the body and senses that keeps one imprisoned in material bondage. 11th canto, chapter 9, verse 27. Very interesting arrangement about a man's six wives. Krishna said, Uddhav, a man who has many wives is constantly harassed by them. He is responsible to maintain these wives. Thus, all the ladies constantly pull him in different directions, each struggling for her own enjoyment. These six wives can be compared to the conditioned soul's material senses, which constantly harass him, pulling him in many directions at once. For example, on one side, the tongue is pulling me to arrange tasty food and enjoy, and my tongue is dragging me to satisfy my thirst. And simultaneously, my sex organs are clamoring for satisfaction. And my sense of touch demands soft, sensuous, pleasing objects. My belly harasses me until it is filled to the brim. And my ears demand to hear sweet, pleasing sounds and music. My nose hankers to smell pleasant aromas, scents, and oils. And my fickle eyes clamor to see colorful objects and pleasing sights. Thus, the sense organs, the senses, and limbs all desire satisfaction simultaneously, and thus they pull me in many directions. Vishnu Chakravarti says, one who understands this verse, 11.9.27, should merely offer without attachment the bare necessities to the guru of one's body. The guru makes so many demands, so the senses and mind are like gurus, six gurus. One should keep one's body fit and healthy, working in the simplest possible way. And that is the substance of service to this so-called guru called the body. If one desires to faithfully serve his body, he should consider that his body pulls the consciousness of the soul in many ways at once. And thus, for the servant of the body, he can never understand God, and he can never become peaceful. Commenting on verse number 31, chapter 9, Vishwanath says, "This verse, like chapter 10 of this canto, verse 5, explains that one must serve a bona fide guru who knows me," Vishwanath says. "There are many similar verses in Vedic literature indicating that one must take shelter of a single bona fide spiritual master. We have the examples of innumerable great saintly persons who did not accept more than one guru. It is a fact that we should accept one bona fide guru and receive from him the particular mantra that one is to chant. I myself certainly follow this principle," that means Vishwanath, "and worship my bona fide spiritual master." That's a personal statement of Chakravartipad. "However, in the worshipping of one's personal guru and acharya, one may take help from good and bad examples. By observing examples of good behavior, one will be strengthened in devotional service. And in seeing negative examples, one will be forewarned and avoid danger. In this way, one may accept many ordinary objects, material objects, as one's spiritual masters, considering them as shiksha gurus or gurus who give important lessons for spiritual advancement." Narrator of this series, he often tells his students, "We often see many good examples what not to do, but we rarely see good example of what to do." Vishwanath goes on, "If one receives the teachings of one's guru or acharya, but he keeps them locked up in his brain as theoretical dogma, bhakti gyan, one will make very little advancement. To develop steady, complete realized knowledge, bhakti vigyan, one must see the teachings of one's guru everywhere. As a Vaishnava offers respects to anyone or anything that gives him further enlightenment in the path of worshipping his bona fide acharya, who is non-different from Lord Krishna. Among the many gurus mentioned by the Avadhut Brahman of Avantipur, 24 gurus, some of the gurus give positive instructions of what should be done, and other gurus give negative instructions of what to avoid. Pingala, prostitute, and the young girl who took off her noisy bangles provide examples of proper conduct, whereas the hapless, foolish pigeons and the foolish honeybee provide examples of behavior to be avoided. In both the negative and positive examples, one's spiritual knowledge is enriched.